Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. What a blessing it has been already just being in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 4, Luke in chapter 4, as last week we read in the book of Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Christ. And as I mentioned last week, we're going to spend just a few weeks on this because there's so much here and it's such an important lesson that we have presented to us here in the Word of God concerning the temptation of Christ. And so this is Luke's account of the temptation of Christ, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 down to verse 13. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. And as I read, you follow right along with me. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. In their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we do thank you, Father, for allowing us the opportunity to be in church today and for what we've already experienced in this place. What a blessing. And now, Father, as we open up the eternal word that you have preserved for us, I just pray, God, that you help us to have an open heart and mind to receive what you have for us today. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The temptation of Christ reveals a 40-day battle with evil. A 40-day battle with evil. As this relates to humanity, I believe it needs to be understood as the most important battle of all times. With more at stake than there was in the battle of the World War I, and the battle of World War II combined. I truly believe that. I'm not looking to diminish the importance of these battles and winning these two battles, but to magnify Christ is what we're looking at here. Because if Jesus would have lost this battle with the devil, it would have impacted humanity like nothing else could have ever impacted humanity. This event was recorded by God to make us aware of spiritual warfare. Whether we understand it, whether you believe it or not, it exists. The temptations that we face every day, and what's at stake every day of our lives. Satan's temptations have led to, first and foremost, the fall of man, which is why we all have a sin nature, that we're born with a sin nature. Satan's temptations have led to the spiritual blinding the mind of mankind. It's led to the loss of wisdom, failed marriages, dysfunctional families, loss of peace, the loss of joy, the loss of happiness and contentment, and I could go on and on. So the understanding this is vitally important to us. And that's why we're going to spend a few weeks on this passage of Scripture that's given to us in three of the Gospels and given to us in detail in Matthew's account and Luke's account. So temptations this morning, what are they? Do you truly understand what temptations are? In Luke in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and the Bible says, "And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost and returned from Jordan," this is right after his baptism and he begins his public ministry. The very first thing that we find as an example to us to look to is this idea of when we get saved, when we look to serve God, there's going to be these kind of temptations that Satan is going to use against us. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. So we're talking about the temptations that come from the devil himself. In Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "When the tempter came." So we find here that the Bible is revealing to us these temptations was not the temptations of man, wasn't the temptations even of the world or the temptations of the flesh as much, but the temptations that we need to be warned about are the temptations that come from the devil himself. Now, he might work through that, and he will work through the lust of the flesh, and he will work through the lust of the eyes, and he will work through the pride of life, and we're going to get into that later on, possibly in the next message or so, but the temptations themselves need to be understood. The root of these kind of temptations is a spiritual warfare with the devil himself. And if you would study this, what the Bible reveals to us, 40 days Christ was tempted by the demons. And when he got to his weakest state of life, in a physical body, 40 days without food, 40 days, I mean, he was on the verge of dying, is when Satan came to him. The devil himself. Wasn't just his demons, wasn't just these spiritual angels, these fallen angels that had been tempting him for the last 40 days, but after he was in his weakest place, to give us an example of what's taken place, he can identify with us. No matter what you go through, Jesus Christ has been tempted far greater than what we would ever be tempted of the devil. But in his weakest state, Satan himself comes. So what are they? The definition is the solicitation to evil. The solicitation to evil. This very same word temptation in the English Bible that we have here, the English-speaking Bible, it's also translated from the Greek word for a word that means testing under trial. Sometimes you'll look in the Bible and you'll see where the certain things were a blessing, the temptations, as we have need of them, and yet that is not the solicitation to evil that Satan tempts. This is that word translated from God is a test or a testing under trial. So you have to look at the Scriptures and you have to understand where it is in context to find out if this is a trial that this word temptation is placed in, or if it is one that is reverting or presenting to us this idea of solicitation to evil. If you will look to the book of James with me, we'll have a better understanding of what I've just said there. The book of James in chapter 1, there's a dual interpretation as you go through the Bible concerning this idea of temptation. In James in chapter 1, as it is translated for us in the English-speaking Bible here, this is in verse 2, it is a translation of the interpretation of a testing under trial. In verse 2 when it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That is not a solicitation to evil. That is the translation, if you will, is the testing under trial. If you look in verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That word temptation there, again, it is the idea of testing under trials. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So understanding that word, just because it's temptation, it might be that it is referring to the testing under trial. But in the very same chapter, in the very same book, if you will, James chapter 1 and verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now, it looks like there might be a little controversy here that is kind of not revealing the same truth here, but it is, you just have to understand it, okay? There's no contradictions in Scripture if you understand Scripture. If you think you found a contradiction, chalk it up to your ignorance of the Bible. Amen. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. It's just a lack of understanding on our part. So it says, let no man say when he is tempted, that word tempted there is enticed to evil. God never entices anybody to do good or evil. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Wow. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's what Satan's using against us is his whole sinful nature. That we all have a sin nature that if left on its own will dictate how we live our lives. We will live our lives based upon the lust. So every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, Satan's purpose in temptations is simply to oppose God. It's how the devil works. Satan works to lead men to live opposite God's word or God's will for their lives. God has given to us in every dispensation of time, from the very beginning of creation till this 21st century, in every dispensation of time, God has revealed to humanity his will for their lives. In the Old Testament, it was to live under the law. And we understand some of those things if you was here in Sunday morning Sunday school. But God has always revealed to mankind what it takes for man to be obedient to God and receive the blessings of God. The blessings of God come by way of obedience to what God has revealed to us. Amen. Satan works to turn that around. He worked in the very beginning with Adam and Eve to turn that around. And what God, they understood what obedience was. They understood what God expected of them. And Satan come and he tempted them with lies and deception to do exactly what God told them not to do. And from the very beginning of time with humanity, Satan's plan has not changed. Satan works in a way to get man to live in opposition to God's will for your lives. In God's will, you can have the blessings of God. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can have the peace that passeth all understanding. You can live a life of contentment. That is what God can bless you with if you are obedient to what God has revealed to us. But this spiritual battle, Satan has always, he is the same today as he was before as well. His desire is to get us to live in opposition to whatever God's will is. God wants obedience. Satan's going to lead you to disobedience. God wants us to live by way of righteousness. Satan is going to tempt us to live by way of unrighteousness. And on and on and on. James chapter 1 and verse 21, look what James says here when he gives a difference between these two definitions of temptation. Then he says, wherefore, understanding this temptation that Satan brings into our lives, understand this the solicitation to evil, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's how Satan's going to work. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which reveals God's expectations of humanity, which is able to save your souls. Isn't that good? Yeah, praise the Lord for that. So what are they? What are these temptations that we find giving us an illustration in the temptation of Christ? These are the acts. This is how Satan works, and he will continue to work this way throughout all this church age. He will continue to do this in deceiving man until God Almighty throws him into a devil's hell that was not prepared for humanity, but it was prepared for Satan and his angels. The demons of hell, if you will. He'll continue to do that because that's who he is. That is the battle that we face. So with that, then who is tempted? James chapter 1 and verse 14. But every man is tempted. Tells you how it's done. When he is drawn away of his own lust, Satan's going to work through your lust and through the eyes and through pride and enticed. Every man is tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You can look it up. You can go back to the very beginning with Adam and Eve, and you can study every Old Testament character that you want to study. You can study all of human history, and Satan has used the very same temptations that he uses against us today. We have a whole Bible filled with examples and illustrations and biblical principles that help us not to have to live in ignorance of the devil's devices, but to help us to understand how Satan works. And yet, many who even understand that continue to fall to the temptations of the devil. Wow. If Satan would tempt Christ, we ought to know that he'll tempt us. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Whatever they've done to me, I've come to be an example to you. Whatever they've done to me, they'll do it to you. Learn from it. So, a believer is more of a target than a lost man to temptations. Say, what do you mean? Who is going to be tempted? Every man is tempted. But can I tell you that a believer is more of a target than a lost man? You say, well, how is that possible? Well, a lost man is already living in unrighteousness. A lost man is already living outside the will of God. God has no expectations of the lost because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. And so they're living a lifestyle of ungodliness. They're living a lifestyle, no matter what it is, that is opposite God's will for their life, because they've not acknowledged Jesus Christ and they've not trusted in him as their personal Lord and Savior. And so even though they are led by, and they are tempted, and they're led by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, they're not the ones that are mostly targeted in this New Testament church age. Those that have received Jesus Christ are targeted to turn from what you already know to be righteousness. I've often asked, I used to play some softball with the church, and we had leagues, and we still have some leagues now, but I don't participate in that because it takes away from my golf game. So, you know, that swing is just the wrong swing. You know, you swing up here, and if you do that, you're going to miss that ball every time. And so I like swinging down here more so than I like swinging up here. Okay, I subbed for one of the guys. I think it was a year ago, they thought, because I used to be able to hit the ball and put it wherever I wanted to put it, and I couldn't even hit the ball because I was swinging down here and the ball was up here. I just started laughing. I couldn't, couldn't believe how bad I was. But the idea there is the softball teams, I had people come up to me and say, preacher, I can go to a secular game, and those guys seem to get along better than the Christian leagues. Why is that? And I said, well, the Satan's not tempting the secular leagues because they don't have the testimony of Christ at stake. The Christian league that has the testimony of Christ at stake, that's the ones that are going to be tempted. Tempted to lose their testimony. Tempted to get upset over something as silly as a ball game. If you're going to lose your testimony, don't play. Your testimony is far more important than your playing in sports or anything else. Because we are to represent Jesus Christ as born-again believers, you are a target for the devil and temptation, because if he can get to you, he can get to all of those that are looking to you concerning a testimony for Christ. Yeah. So who is tempted? Everyone. But the saved will come under more powerful demonic temptation than the lost. We need to be ready for it. We need to be ready for it. So how do we handle Satan's temptations? This recorded event has provided man with the greatest help available on how to overcome Satan's temptations. You have to understand what they are. Realizing that it's going to come, it's a spiritual battle. You're not going to see the devil coming. He comes by way of spirit. He has access to your thought life in order to suggest to your mind things that you would not want to think about. But if you yield to them, they become your thoughts. And following, when they become your thoughts, the very next step is to play it out, is to put those thoughts into action. And when those thoughts become your thoughts, they become sin. It's not sin to be tempted. All of us are tempted every day. There are thoughts that are coming, go through your mind every day. You determine what you're going to grasp as your thoughts. Amen. We're going to get into that. We're going to see how Jesus himself was able to say, no, that's not my thought. Get out of my mind. Satan, get behind me. But what is the most important first step? Now that I understand what they are, who is tempted, I understand they're coming from the devil, it's a spiritual battle, and I'm going to be tempted. How do I handle Satan's temptations? Can I tell you this morning what we need to understand? That it first of all begins with the desire to overcome them. If you don't have a desire to overcome the temptations, you'll have a desire to apply the temptations. They will overcome you. The Bible says that there's a sin that so easily besets every one of us. There's some out in here in this congregation that would say, you know, there's no way that I would ever drink a drop of alcohol. And I would agree. I would say because of your personality, because of how you've been raised and all the different things, and you, if there's no way that you would ever drink a drop of alcohol, can I tell you, Satan's not going to tempt you with alcohol. Everyone has a sin that so easily besets us. And whatever that is in your life, can I tell you, you've already revealed to Satan it's a weakness in your life, because he has the history of your life to look at. You have the history of your life to look at. What sin has been your sin that so easily beset you that you find yourself kind of going back and just recycling over and over again? And I don't want to do it, and I get out of it, but again, I'm pulled right back into it. That's a sin that so easily beset you. That's exactly the sin that Satan is going to work on more than any other sin in your life. He's not going to try to tempt you with something that he knows that you have no way that you're going to yield to, that you're not tempted for those types of things. And so what you need to understand is Satan knows, and you need to know your weaknesses. And you have to desire to overcome those weaknesses. You cannot have a desire to go back into those past sins. Because they're going to be there. The temptations to go back into that sin. He'll blind you to all the results of that sin. He'll block out everything negative that took place in your life when you were living in that sin. And he'll just promote it as the most, looking back over and said, those are the good old days. He'll make you, he'll try to get you only to focus on the pleasure of sin for a season. You can enjoy the pleasures of sin, but as a saved man, you cannot enjoy them indefinitely. It's only for that little bit of time, and then you're going to have the conviction and the guilt for the rest of your life. So the first thing that you have to do is have a desire to overcome them. That's something no one else can do for you. You can come in here and hear the preaching of the Word of God. You can sit down and counsel with somebody till the counselor is just totally worn out counseling you. But if you don't have a desire to live right, if you don't have a desire to walk in fellowship with God, you'll never overcome temptation. You might periodically get a victory over it, but it's going to recycle, and you're going to go right back to the very same as a dog will return back to his vomit. Wow. Jesus stayed focused on God and his purpose for being here. In his weakest state of being, when the devil came himself after 40 days and tempted all these demons, now the devil himself, very unlikely that anyone in this room will ever have the devil himself. He is not omniscient. He is only one, okay? He can't be everywhere at the same time in the fullness of his power. God can, he cannot. Satan is a created being. But Satan himself, after 40 days of temptations, came to Christ. And the thing that we see first and foremost, Jesus stayed focused on his love for God and his purpose for being here on this earth, which led to a desire to stay faithful to God's will. He kept referring back to what God has written down for us to live by. How to handle Satan's temptations? Know your weakness. Find those verses. Write them down in your heart and in your mind. And determine that you're going to love God more than you're going to give yourself over to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And desire to be all that God wants you to be. You see, in both the accounts, when the devil came, Jesus stayed focused. And as he stayed focused, the devil left him. James 4, chapter 4, verse 7 says this, resist the devil and he will flee. Get him to run from you. You don't necessarily have to run from him. You can't outrun the devil. Resist. And when you resist, get him to run from you. I had a friend of mine that was out and some guys, there's two guys come up on him and they was walking down. He knew that he was in a bad area of town and he was going to get robbed. And they were coming up behind him and he was packing. And he turned around and just showed them his gun. And the two of those two men that would be robbers, they seen that gun He said they both threw up their hands like this and turned around and run away. So when you're coming up against the temptations of Satan, can I tell you, you need an equalizer. It's not a physical equalizer. It's a spiritual equalizer. When Satan comes up against you, you need to turn to him and show him your love for God. Amen. It's your love for God and your desire of obedience to God that Satan will acknowledge, and it will get him to run from you. But if you don't have a love for God, you're no match for the tempter. So what sin do you find yourself recommitting over and over and over again? The greatest help is found in this temptation of Christ. When Jesus stayed focused on his love for God and his purpose for being on this planet Earth. Do you love God? Your lifestyle will reveal to you how much you love God. Because if you're not living a lifestyle that is pleasing to the Lord, that is accordance to obedience to God's word, you don't really love God. And it's your love for God is what will get Satan to flee from you. Do you love the Lord? If you do, then you can overcome all the temptations that Satan will bring into your life. Love God more than anything else. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. You don't have to run from the devil. If you love God, he'll run from you. He'll run from you. Is Satan running from you? Or is he getting the victory through the temptations that he brings into your life? Love God more. Father, we bow before you. We thank you again, Lord, for the precious word that you have preserved for us, and especially this event, one of the most powerful events, one of the most powerful battles of human history. Help us to learn from it. This morning, Father, I pray that we would get the victory. We would get the victory.